Our first speaker is an old friend and colleague, Jeffrey Rogers Hummel. Dr. Hummel is Assistant Professor of Economics at San Jose State University. He's been Associate Adjunct Professor of Economics and History at Golden Gate University. He's been the Bark National Fellow at the Hoover Institution. And he's also been a U.S. Army tank platoon leader. He's the author of the very influential book, Emancipating Slaves, Enslaving Free Men, A History of the American Civil War. He's also contributing author to another one of our books called Arms, Politics, and the Economy. So let me say I'm very pleased to have Jeff Hummel.
My topic is non-intervention as an American tradition. The United States achieved its independence in a mercantilist world in which war followed war in seemingly endless succession. Towards the end of the 17th century, there had been three Anglo-Dutch wars. Those were followed by four major world wars between Britain and France, the last of which, the French and Indian War, or known in Europe as the Seven Years' War, you may have heard of. There was the War of the American Revolution, the Wars of the French Revolution, and the Napoleonic Wars. And as Americans were fashioning their new experiment, they wanted to create something exceptional, something different, not just in the domestic realm, but in the foreign realm as well. And it's little known that just after the Continental Congress ended up declaring independence, they began thinking about these issues as they considered what kinds of terms they would want in a treaty of alliance with France, even though the alliance came a couple years later. And these discussions indicated quite clearly that from the outset, Americans wanted to apply Enlightenment, classical liberal ideas to international relations. They wanted to try to adhere to principles that would diminish and contain conflict, that would protect non-combatants during wars, that would extend the rights of neutral powers, that would extend free trade and reciprocity between nations. And within this milieu arose the ideal of non-intervention, an ideal that came to be expressed by many early American presidents. There are some actual great quotations that I'm going to read you from the book that inspired this evening's presentation, Opposing the Crusader State. This is the opening essay from historian Joseph Stromberg. And so we have George Washington in his farewell address of 1796, proclaiming that Americans should have, quote, with foreign nations as little political connection as possible, close quote. Although trade and impartial commerce. Thomas Jefferson, in his first inaugural of 1801, called for, quote, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none, close quotes. John Quincy Adams probably has the most eloquent summation of the non-interventionist principle, expressed actually before he became president in a 4th of July address of 1821. America, and many of you have heard this before, America goes not abroad in search of monsters to destroy. She is the well-wisher to the freedom and independence of all. She is the champion and vindicator only of her own. She will recommend the general cause by the countenance of her voice and the benignant sympathy of her example. She well knows that by once enlisting under other banners than her own, were they even the banners of foreign independence, she would involve herself beyond the power of extrication in all the wars of interest and intrigue, of individual avarice, envy, and ambition, which assume the colors and usurp the standards of freedom. The fundamental maxims of her policy would insensibly change from liberty to force. That last sentence is very prescient. Now, Unfortunately, the ideal of non-intervention, although implemented in the first century, implemented in part in the first century of America's independence, began to erode from the outset. It first faced pressure under the first faced pressures from the desire for continental expansion, and you're all familiar with that story, culminating in the Spread Eagle cries for manifest destiny of the 1840s. It also faced pressure from the hemispheric pretensions of the Monroe Doctrine of 1823. But really, non-intervention, at least with respect to Europe, dominated American foreign policy, and with respect to relations outside of this hemisphere, until it received the frontal assault of the Spanish-American War of 1898. A war conducted under the aegis of progressive ideology. And this war is worth remembering, looking back at, because it has some uncanny similarities to America's current imbroglio. The Spanish-American War itself lasted only 115 days. There were only 325 American battle deaths, although there were 2,000 deaths from disease. Teddy Roosevelt complained, it wasn't much of a war, but it was the best war we had. But it was followed by the Philippine insurrection, led by Emilio Aguinaldo. As compared with the 385 battle deaths the U.S. suffered during the Spanish-American War, the U.S. suffered 4,243 combat deaths over 3 years suppressing the Philippine insurrection, inflicted 16,000 Filipino combat deaths, and the estimate of civilian deaths is between 100,000 and 250,000, in part by war-induced famines. The Spanish-American War inspired the heroic resistance within the United States of a group that called itself the Anti-Imperialist League. This was a heterogeneous assortment of those opposed to the war and then the suppression of the Philippine insurrection, including former President Grover Cleveland, a Democrat, industrialist Andrew Carnegie, labor leader Gompers, Jane Addams, the city reformer, Carl Schurz, and George Botwell, who were aging radical Republicans, Mark Twain, and William Graham Sumner. In fact, this was the war that inspired William Graham Sumner's famous essay, The Conquest of the United States by Spain, in which he said, well, in terms of military, the dimension, America may win this war, but in terms of ideology, the U.S. is being conquered by Spanish ideas of militarism and government control, and et cetera. Unfortunately, the Anti-Imperialist League did not succeed in its endeavors, and is sort of the last gasp of classical liberalism and across the board non-interventionism in American history. The 20th century then becomes dominated by intervention. First, we've got the continuous intervention in Latin America under Teddy Roosevelt, under Taft, under Woodrow Wilson, who, to quote him, wanted to teach the South American republics to elect good men. There was some intense opposition to U.S. intervention in World War I, not enough to prevent the declaration in 1917, but enough to inspire the Sedition Act and the excessive suppression of civil liberties on the part of the Wilson administration, which used the war as an excuse to try to smash the Socialist Party, the International Workers of the World, and then, of course, this led to the subsequent Red Scare. Disillusionment with World War I inspired the so-called isolationist movement in the 1930s. The isolationist movement became crystallized in the American First Committee, did manage to pass a series of neutrality acts, which I have mixed feelings about. If somebody wants to ask me about that during the question and answer, I'll be happy to respond. But of course, the attack on Pearl Harbor was one of those electrifying events in history, like 9/11, where and despite the fact that the attack had been provoked by Roosevelt's foreign policy, everything changed. And the opposition to U.S. entry in World War II, not only against the Japanese, but also in Europe, completely and utterly evaporated. Now, I don't think there's much point in rehearsing the history of intervention since World War II. Many of you are familiar with it. American troops are stationed around the globe, have intervened in country after country. But I do want to call your attention in concluding to sort of what seems to me to be an obvious effect, but nonetheless an overlooked effect, all right? We've now had a century of government intervention. Korea, Panama, Nicaragua, the Congo, Angola, Bosnia, Somalia, Yugoslavia. Supposedly this intervention was designed to protect the American people, to protect you. And yet the net result was that on September 11th, American citizens in their homeland ended up being less safe from foreign aggressors than they have ever been since the War of 1812, nearly two centuries earlier. And I can't think of any more revealing demonstration of the abject failure of foreign intervention in terms of its alleged goals. Thank you very much.